May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. I love Halloween. I don't know about you, but I ran out of candy last night. 8 bags, and I still run out. Now, on Friday at our nursery school, we had our annual Halloween parade and show, and the kids were awesome. There were skeletons and cowboys and all sorts of superheroes and turtles of all sorts of shapes and sizes out, maybe a dinosaur or two, and loads more. They sang songs about little bats and itsy bitsy spiders. You remember that one? Itsy bitsy spider, right? And at my house last night, I just rolled on the floor laughing as one little kid who stood only about 3 feet high went running down the street in his, wait for it, samurai wrestler costume, right? And he was just, he was like as wide as he was tall, and you had to see it, this puffy costume and made to look like a very large wrestler with the funny hair and the small black loincloth thing. You know, he was running down the street and it was wobbling all over. It was absolutely hilarious. All of it was awesome. And not a bit scary. Which, when you think about Halloween and all the ghosts and goblins, well, you kind of expect it to be scary, right? Well, I'll give you something to scare you. Pat Robertson. Yep, Pat Robertson, pastor and TV personality on the 700 Club, said last week about Halloween, "That's the day when millions of children and adults will be dressing up as devils, witches, and goblins to celebrate Satan." Does anyone else think of the church lady from Saturday Night Live when you hear that, right? Can you say Satan? I'll tell you what's scary. Someone who claims to represent the church saying something like that and being heard by millions of viewers who might actually take him seriously. That's scary. Or maybe that anyone takes him seriously is scary. Of course, the thing about Halloween is that we make fun of stuff that we generally would be frightened of, right? I mean, if you really saw a glow-in-the-dark skeleton walking down your street, you'd be scared, right? I would be. They aren't supposed to do that. Well, they're also not supposed to glow in the dark, but that's a whole other thing. And while that was yesterday, on All Hallows Eve, you know, those of you who went to my Spooks and Saints things last week, and you know that hallow means holy. Hallowed be thy name. All Hallows Eve. All Holy Eve. As we remember the day today, All Saints, we remember those who died. And the passages from Scripture are, in a very real sense, perfect not only for All Saints, but for Halloween. And no, I don't mean just because we have a mummy named Lazarus in the Gospel. Now, I have to say that's kind of cool timing. I'm talking about readings from both the Gospel and the Revelation to John, which, by the way, is a book of the Bible that's enough to scare anyone away from using drugs. I mean, if you've ever read it, right, it could be used for an anti-drug abuse commercial with the line, "This is your mind on drugs." But before we go to the land of whatever was in John's head, the land of Revelation, let's look at the Gospel. The Gospel reading is the familiar raising of Lazarus from the dead. You all know that story, right? You've heard it before. That's not the first time. I don't think most of you have heard it. And not for nothing, I really think that when we read it next time, we should have the soundtrack to Michael Jackson's Thriller, right? Dun, 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 right? I think it'd be great. Put that on the list, Bill. No. Anyway, the best part of the story, as I mentioned when it came up in Lent last year, was the reaction of Martha to Jesus when he says to roll away the stone, right? The guy's been dead for 4 days, and she tells him there's a stench, or the best version of it, as I said last year, is in the King James, "Lord, he stinketh." Lord, he stinketh. Yes, I would think so. Jesus calls Lazarus, "Come out." And then he tells the people to unbind him as Lazarus walks out of his tomb, mummy style. This is a story made for Fright Night. And it's also a story for All Saints and baptism. And the place to start with this story is inside of the dark tomb, the place where the one that Jesus loved, Lazarus, spent 4 days. It's a place we make fun of on Halloween, I think in part because we feel uncomfortable there. Think about how often we need to make jokes when we're in those very weirdly uncomfortable places. We call it gallows humor, right? My guess is Lazarus wasn't laughing. He was dead. While most of us can likely say we've never been dead, I hope, physically, although there are those people who have had near-death experiences, right? But for the most part, most of us can say we've never been physically dead. But most of us can remember times in our lives or the lives of others we know who were or are dead, spiritually or emotionally. They may be suffering from depression, grief, or loneliness that covers them like a tomb. They're the walking dead, and they aren't scary because they're often people we know and love. And it may even be the one we see in the mirror. And it is there that Jesus goes. It is to the darkness of our lives that God enters. But first, God weeps. Jesus wept. We all feel that deep sorrow at the pain and darkness that people we love are experiencing. And God, the one who loved us so much as to walk among us, feels it too. Jesus wept. See, that's the thing about these difficult times in our lives, and I know I've said it before, but I don't believe for a moment that old nonsense about how God only gives us what we can handle. To that, I think Lazarus and a whole lot of other folks would say, now hold on there, God. Obviously, you have overestimated my abilities. No, God doesn't give us what we can handle. God doesn't do this to us. No loving God would, right? Would any parent willingly do that to their kids, torture them with pain? Although I have to say this late gimmick of Jimmy Kimmel Live, where he's asking parents to videotape their kids when they tell them, I've eaten all your Halloween candy, borders on torture. You know, because to a kid that age, this is their whole life. Have any of you seen those videos? It's really kind of creepy and sad. I feel badly for the kids. But for the most part, if a parent was deliberately putting their children in pain, physically or emotionally, it's a clear case of child abuse, right? Now, I know there are times when teenagers think that that's what their parents are doing, and vice versa. Or we can sometimes think that the in-laws are the devil incarnate. But God? No. No. What God does do is grieve, and then God goes to us. God meets us where we are, calls us out of the dark places. God meets us in our brokenness with grace that unbinds us from what keeps us in darkness. That's when God is saying, see, I'm making all things new. That is when new life happens, not only for the Lazaruses of the world, but for all who know them. Because while God might say that all things are being made new, the reality is that when we encounter grace, what really happens is that we're changed. We're still the same person, not some new being. The wounds, emotional, physical, and spiritual, are still part of our DNA. In the encounter with Jesus, Lazarus was brought back from the dead. He still looks like the old Lazarus. Okay, probably like one with a four-day hangover. But essentially, he's still the man Jesus loved, the brother of Martha and Mary, same legs, arms, and of course, the same memories. And yet Lazarus will never be the same. Life will be different for him, sweeter maybe, for having experienced the depths of darkness, for having been dead for so long. And everyone Lazarus encounters is changed too. They are never the same for having encountered God's grace in the face of Lazarus. And that changed life is what All Saints is all about, because it's a day when we celebrate all those who have passed from this life into the next, and a day when we baptize others into the body of Christ. And today, we baptize Jocelyn and Cordelia Truberg. And what a joyful day for them and for their family and for all of us. In baptism, they will experience what Lazarus experienced. They will be changed forever in this outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Baptism is a death and resurrection experience symbolized by the water. It's an Easter experience. We wear white. We wear white. And on All Saints, it's an especially important day for baptism because we not only remember those who have died, but we remember them as saints of the church. No, not saints as if they led perfect lives, but saints as those who have lived their faith as best they could, looking to love and serve as part of the body of Christ, a life they began in baptism. Today, Jocelyn and Cordelia will enter into the household of God, and in the prayers we pray for them, it's clear what all of us are called to do in our lives as Christians. We ask God to deliver them out of death. We ask God then a series of actions to open their hearts to God's grace and truth, fill them with holy and life-giving spirit, keep them in communion with the church, all of us, to teach them and to love them, to send them into the world as witnesses to God's love and to bring them into the fullness of God's peace. Open, fill, teach, send, bring. This is the life Jocelyn and Cordelia will be taught here in this faith community, upheld by all of us. That's the life all of us are called to live into. We're called to open our hearts, not only to grace, but to the truth of the suffering of others in the world. And we will weep. We will weep. We're called to be guided by the Holy Spirit and follow her to the dark tombs of the world. We're called to go out into the world and love others, to be the body of Christ, bringing others into the fullness of relationship with God. And we are called to be nurtured here in the faith and communion of the church. In Radical Grace, Richard Rohr, a Catholic friar and international speaker, writes, Though Jesus brings us to life, he needs us, the body of Christ. He needs the community to unbind Lazarus. We now share in the power of resurrection. The eternal Christ says to the eternal church, unbind the suffering world and let it go free. That is the meaning of church. It is our call, our burden, our task in human history. The risen Christ invites us on his path of liberation. This life in Christ, which the saints before us, the saints alive now, and those to come have and will lay a claim to, is not a static one. Those prayers for the candidates are filled with verbs, filled with action, open, fill, teach, keep, send, bring. Ours is a life for those willing to live as Christ lived. And that's what we celebrate today, the saints who lived just that way. As part of our stewardship campaign, we've been giving out symbolic gifts each week, blessed at the altar, for you to take home with you. And this week you will receive a bracelet, the kind that we wear for causes, you know, rubber bracelets, except these have words printed on them, words like hope, love, faith, and courage. These are what the saints before us represented, and what each of us are called to embody now is the body of Christ today. May these bracelets remind you not only of the life of the saints gone by, but of the life that you're called to live now, the ones that go out into the world and meet people where they are. See, that's the thing. We now walk the path of the saints before us. We are the body of Christ and are the ones that weep. We weep at the loneliness, the violence, the despair, the poverty, the oppression, and we should. We should. But we're called to do more. And that's where All Saints comes in, because All Saints is about you and me and the world today. It's about baptism and our lives before and after. It's about call and what that does for us and with us. Remember, Jesus went to Lazarus. He didn't send an email telling him to come out of the tomb. Jesus went to him. Jesus was always doing that, right? Going to places no one else would go. To the dark places, the places of the poor, the outcast, and the weak. Jesus didn't expect them to go find him, though sometimes they did. And of course, if Lazarus has sought out Jesus looking like something from a horror movie, well, maybe that is the origin of Halloween. No, Jesus met people where they were, in whatever death they were experiencing, physical, emotional, or spiritual, and we must do the same. God calls us to new life in baptism, and it is a life where we seek not only to live in love, but to walk in love, sharing the grace of God with a world bound up in darkness. We need to be the Jesus alive today that meets people where they are, rather than expecting them to waltz in the front doors of the church. Jesus is calling us to go to them, to weep, yes, but to go, to bring God's love and grace, and to do something else too, to call out others to unbind them. We are called to feel their pain, to go and bear witness by loving them, and then to call out to others to put an end to whatever is keeping them up in despair, bound up in despair, to stand against injustice, to stand up for the marginalized, and to speak for those with no voice. We are always receiving word of a world in need. In the same way Jesus heard of Lazarus being near death, will we go or will we say, it's hopeless, and stay where we are? Will we go or will we say, they should come here to church? Will we go or will we only weep, remaining in our own proverbial tombs, closing our ears to the call of Christ to come out, to be unbound and live the life we're meant to live? God has unbound us in baptism to live a life full of grace and truth and to spread the message of God's love to all, most especially to those who live in tombs. It's not an easy life. But as we heard in our processional hymn this morning for all the saints, when the strife is fierce and the warfare long, we will hear the voices of those who went before us, and they will steal on the ear the distant triumph song. That song is the one that sustains us, tells us that neither they nor we live this life of Christ alone. God is with us. Jesus and the saints are beside us, and the Holy Spirit guides us. And because of that, folks, our hearts will be brave and our arms will be strong. Alleluia, alleluia, to serve a world in need. Amen.